The title of today's message is You Are My Friend. You are my friend. Someone said if you have three friends in your life, you are a very fortunate person. Okay. True friends. If you have three friends in your life, you are a fortunate person. Do you have a friend? And you may say, of course, I have so many friends. Well, what is a friend? Who is a friend? What makes someone a friend? Actually, I thought about this, and if you could just hear me out. A friend is someone that have a bond of affection, mutual affection, right? That's friendship. It's someone that you have a bond of mutual affection, love. And secondly, someone you trust, I hope. If you don't trust, I don't know whether you could call that person your friend, right? So with mutual affection and trust. And then I thought about thirdly, a friend is someone with whom you talk. You share your heart and thoughts. You talk and you listen and you do life together. That's a friend. And if I may, just one more thing, a friend is someone who are allied in a struggle, allied for the same cause, I hope, and allied for the same path of life. Wow, that's a pretty hard qualification as a friend, but I think that's a true friend, okay? And you know what? That's how Christian living is. When Jesus is your friend, just like what I just described. And it's exactly what today's text will describe. Christian living is being a friend of Jesus. Okay, friend of Jesus. Let's talk about how friendship is being developed between two persons or two parties. Okay, three possibilities I thought of. And the first possibility is you don't want it and he doesn't want it. What's the outcome? That's not going to work. There's no friendship developed. Okay. Second possibility is you desire it, but the other person don't desire it. Is there a possibility? Outcome is probably not. Probably not. And the third possibility that I thought of is you desire it, and the other party turn around and begin to desire it. Now, there's a possibility right there. And that's the gospel friendship possibility. Okay, that's the gospel. And I want to share just a few verses that Scripture speaks about friendship. There are actually people in the Bible, two in the Old Testament actually, who are called a friend of God. Okay, pretty amazing. And it's written actually in the book of James, which is the New Testament, and this is what it says about someone called Abraham. Scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. So there is a trust right there. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness and he was called a friend of God. Do you hear it? Okay. Second one is a little bit more provocative and poignant in my opinion because I think it is going to apply to all of us. James chapter 4 verse says, you adulterous people. Whoa, that's a very harsh way of calling someone. You adulterous people. Who's that? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Okay, do you hear it? Friendship with the world is being an enemy, enmity with God. And then he goes on to say, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's the biblical position, friends. Okay? That's just the way it is. We try to somehow stay in the middle and try to be friends to both. But Bible says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And I noticed something that's very special. Bible does not say friendship with God is enmity toward the world. That's not how it works. If you are a friend of God, in fact, you will be compassionate toward the world. Not the other way around. However, in James chapter 4, verse 4 says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And I want to ask you, do you love the world? Then you're living as an enemy of God, the scripture says. One more, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And another person named Moses was called a friend of God. And this is how it says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses. So they talk, they communicate, they share. So the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speak to his friend. Okay? I think this is one of the most staggering expression of your relationship with God, and that's Christian living. And that's what today's text is saying. You are my friend if you obey what I command. Okay? So that as an introduction. Past 3 weeks, we were talking about true Christian living. Are you a Christian living a true Christian life? Are you branches that's bearing fruits? If you abide with vine tree, you will have vine grapes in your lives. If you abide in apple tree, you will have apple fruits in your life. Okay. So last 3 weeks, we talked about true living, Christian life. And probably the best analogy of true living, union, unified relationship of Christianity is the vine and the branches. Tree and the branches. And I know you've been thinking about what kind of branch I am. Okay? And I think that's what Jesus is intent to speak to his disciples. Are you bearing fruits? What kind of fruits do you see? Okay? And last week from Romans, we saw that if the root is holy, so will be the branches. It's so logical, isn't it? If you're abiding with Christ, you will see that holiness developing in your life. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but does mean that that's what you desire to live. Okay? So today's key text is, no longer I call you servants, for the servant does not know his master's business, but I have called you friend. Friend. Can you look at me, people? Can you imagine God says, you're my friend? That would be pretty awesome, isn't it? But that's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what his desire is. Do you? Remember that? Three possibilities. He wants it. Do you want it? He doesn't want it. That's not even a possibility. And the third possibility, he desires it. And if you turn and desire it, you could be a friend of God. Okay? So today, I thought about using today's text in from John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. I thought about five expressions of what it means to live as a friend of God, as a Christian, Christian life. Okay, five expressions. And here are five of them. Number one, verse 12, you're going to love one another. And that makes total sense, doesn't it? If the sap is coming from the tree, my love, Christ's love, agape comes into your life, how do you not love? Right? So love one another, verse 12. And second is, it sounds almost repetitious of last week, but you'll be obedient to Christ. That's always the case of Christianity. Christianity is about loving and obeying. It's not duties. It's loving, which leads to obeying. And the third is amazing. Third, that you live as a friend of God, you know the grand picture or the plan of God in your life and history. That's what it says in verse 15. Fourth expression is to be chosen and appointed so that you will go and bear fruits and fruits that will abide, which means the fruits that will last forever. What is that? What is that? Something that'll last forever. You're going to bear it. And lastly, friends talk, right? You're going to ask the Father in my name, and he will give to you. And that's how you will live a Christian life. So, starting with the first expression of Christian living as a friend of Christ, verse 12 says, let me just go to the verse. Okay. Oh, verse 12 is missing. To love one another as Christ has loved you. Last Friday, we had Attribute of God class, and the topic for last Friday was love of God. And this is my personal wish and announcement to you. As I'm spending this season of life during this very, very peculiar time in history, going through pandemic and lockdown, studying the person of God and the attribute of God is such an amazing thing. Because, think with me, can there be anything greater pursuit than knowing God? If God is God? I don't think so, people. And here's the second question. Can you love someone you do not know? How do you love someone you do not know? It's impossible. How do you do Christianity without knowing him? That's just my desire for you. Okay? So, it is true. Pursuit of knowing God, it has to be the greatest desire. But I noticed that, I don't know. I don't know what you do on Fridays. Okay? You're tired. I understand that. But really encourage you to know him. Right? So, last Friday, we talked about love of God. And you know what? Love of God is his attribute, which means that's his essence of his being. Now, listen to this, because this is not something you could figure out with yourself. This is the biblical teaching. Love of God is his essence. His essence from his being. In other words, only from him true love flows. Meaning, you cannot love anyone, not even your spouse, not even your child, without the love of God. How do you say that? 1 John, I think Pastor Tim read it, chapter 4. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What do you hear? You're hearing that only true source of love, that's true biblical love, agape love, comes from him. And if you don't love someone, you do not know God. In other words, you are completely separate. You are not abiding branch, because God is love. And it's pretty amazing if you think about it, because it means his disposition or inclination of God is for his people, for the good, at all cost. I shared this last Friday, and I think this is an amazing definition. God's bent and disposition is for his people, for the good, at all cost. Now, I find it is so interesting, because man's disposition, man's nature is opposite. Listen to this. Because we are we have a sin nature, selfish nature. Apart from God, that's who you are, Scripture says. And the sin nature is for myself. Disposition is for, instead of for his people, for myself. You're self-lovers. Okay? And for the good, at all cost. So in other words, if there's one, two, three, two and three are same, but one is different. If God's disposition is for my people, for the good at all cost, and your disposition without Christ is for myself only, for the good and at all cost. Can they be friends? Do you think they could be friends? God and sinners? Not like this, right? Not like this. But it's amazing because the gospel truth is that God loved this sinner so that you will turn and love him back. That's the love of God, and that's the story of God. Okay? So first expression of Christian living as a friend of Christ, true Christian, is to love one another. And why is that so important? Because in John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a day before his historic death, he said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And then he said, so that all men will know that you are my disciples. Okay? Which means, who gives commandment? Only God does. So Jesus is giving a new commandment as a sovereign God of the new kingdom. New kingdom. Are you listening? I hope you are listening, because if you're not listening, you'll be liable to the king. Right? Love one another as I have loved you, so that the all men will know that you are my disciples. In other words, when we love one another, the world could see God. That's what it means. So loving, it's like that. Being a friend of God means we love each other. When we say we love each other, it doesn't refer to a general sense of love. And once in a while, you give some money to poor people. Once in a while, you go to missions and do some missions work. It's not like that. No, it's not. It's not that. What Jesus is saying is this: love one another as I have loved you means love between the brothers and sisters in the church, in the kingdom of God. Can I ask you, answer to yourself, do you love your church? Or you could care less. Now, do you hear it? I don't think that's a small thing, because if God loves his people and his church, and you are abiding in him, I think you would love the church as well, right? So it is not referred to a general sense of temporary, occasional love toward, you know, poor people or needy people, but it is talking about primarily first between the believers, and also the love toward the lost world. Okay? So that's the first expression. And that first expression is very well described in verse 13. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I know you may know this verse, and you may not know this verse, but unless you sit down and put your mind into it, you do not appreciate this verse, okay? Jesus is saying, there is no greater love than someone gives his life, lay down his life. Like, if I were to love you, there's nothing greater that I could offer you than my own life, which I don't think I'll do under normal circumstances, right? I mean, giving some of the money and some time and all of that is an expression of love, but that cannot be greater than giving my life for you. It cannot be that, right? So it is the greatest expression, but obviously Jesus is alluding to his own love toward his people, toward humanity, and there is no greater love than giving his own life. And Christianity is about giving his own life. Now the difference is, it's not just anyone or someone, but that someone is sovereign God. Sovereign God. Are you beginning to feel it? Christianity is about meditating about love of God. Only options that you have, the way you do Christianity, is you do by the law, or you do by the love. Here's what I mean by that. If you don't think about the love of God, you will try to please God and please yourself. How do you do that? Let me do more. If you do Bible study, if you're good and to be at a prayer meeting, if you be good and give to church and whatnot, and you feel good, that's doing Christianity by the law, by your own doing, which will never give you security that you need. You'll always feel insecure, right? The other way of doing Christianity is the love of God. In fact, that's what we need to meditate every single day. And my advice and my suggestion to you is, may you rejoice in His love. Every day, people. How many of you rejoice in His love in your life? Can I hear you say amen? I really mean this. I really mean this. Do you feel like my life stink because no one loves me? Do you feel like I don't have a friend in my life because no one is my friend? Man, gospel is, He loves you and He's calling you, you are my friend. It really is, people. Do you feel like you're like, there's nobody in this world? I'm in this place where there is no way out. I'm so lonely. I'm so alone. And you know, do you feel like that? And I just pray that you will meet Jesus of the scripture. Okay? So He gave His life, and it's not just anyone. He's a sovereign God. And the other difference is, it's greater love has no one than this, someone to lay down his life for his friends. But we weren't even His friends. In fact, Romans chapter 5 says, we weren't friends. In fact, we were rebels. We were haters. We were enemies. We were totally indifferent about who God is. If you don't have Christ in you, you totally don't care about who Christ is. You only care about yourself. It's for myself, for the good at all cost. Isn't that how people live? If you think about it, that's human sinful nature that is so opposite of God's loving nature. Now, so He gave His life, and can you think with me? His death is unique for a few reasons. Death of Christ, okay? Number one, His death isn't a natural one. For human beings, we all are destined to die, and the cause of our death is because of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and death is destined for you. And that's a natural one. That's, you deserve it. I deserve it. But He's not. He doesn't. He's holy. He doesn't deserve. And He's an everlasting God, eternal God. So it's not a natural thing, but He died for you, right? The second reason His death is unique is because He actually came into history to die. That's unique. You don't live to die. You live to live. But He came to die. So it's very, very unique. And the third reason why Jesus' death is unique is His death is not for Himself, but for you. It's vicarious, it's substitutionary. That's Christian love. That's Christ's love. And lastly, His death is unique because death was not the end. He was raised in 3 days. Absolutely. Is that the Christianity you believe? I really want to ask you. Okay? Second expression of Christian life as a friend of Christ is obedience. Do you feel great when you obey, or do you feel great when you disobey? How many of you say, I'm the latter person? I know some of you are like that. Do you feel excellent when you disobey? Wow, now I am me. I'm such a disobedient person. Or do you feel like when you obey, wow, it feels right. I'm in the right place. You know what? We human beings are made to obey God. But only problem is we don't and we can't because of sin nature. It's all about self, all about for the good of myself at all cost, right? But Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. So it sounds like, wow, that sounds like a slave. Right? If you do what I command, if you obey me, you're my friends. So there is no difference between friends and slaves. They both have to obey. Well, that is true. In Christianity, from the Old Testament, it was always loving obedience relationship. Okay, we shared last Friday, love of God was expressed in the Old Testament in two main ways. Number one, God's election love. Number two, God's covenant love. God has chosen Israelites. Why? We will talk about that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. But God's covenantal love, steadfast love, faithful love, his committed love. There was a couple who got married here last night, yesterday afternoon. And that's a covenantal love. Okay, covenantal love. What does that mean? I'm going to be faithful to you till I die. In sickness, in health, in prosperity, and in poverty. Right? In good situation, bad situation, I want to be faithful to you. That's a covenantal love. Between Pastor Paul Park and Sarah. But here's a question for you. Why does God, who is so self-sufficient, makes a covenant with wretches like you and I? Why does he do that? That's what love is. Right? So, again, you know, obedience is always the case. So, when God made a covenant with his people, he loved his people and chosen them. And we're going to look at the reason why. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. Remember? That's the next verse. He has election love toward them as their king, but the people are to love him back by obedience, which is an expression of what love is. It was always love and obedience relationship in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and Christian life right now, right? His covenant love is the steadfast love. I love that word. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Steadfast love. Human love is not steadfast. You know that. You know, so many marriages end up in divorce court. I'm going to love you until the end. And then within 2 years, 50% of the marriages. You know why? Most of the time, financial reasons. Most of the time, infidelity. But his love is steadfast. And his love continues. And you know throughout the history, the wife, the people, weren't faithful to God, to the husband. And yet, he was faithful. That's steadfast love. That's the hesed love. That's the love we are talking about. And until you know him and abide in him, you do not know love. Okay? So, obedience is an expression of loving. Okay? Third expression to live a Christian life as a friend of God is to know the grand plan of God, and it's in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master's business is. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father." Now, can I just ask you, how much did Jesus know about the plan of God? Everything. Everything. And the verse says, "All that I have heard from my Father, all that I know, I've made known to you if you are a Christian." That's pretty amazing, isn't it, if you think about it, right? So the difference between servant and friends, the similarity is you both obey, but the difference is slaves don't know what master is doing, but friends, they know the grand plan of God. Are you a friend of God or are you a slave of God? Seriously, I'm asking this question. If you don't care, you just want to do it. I just want to be at church. You're living like a slave. You know, I was reminded of this story of prodigal son. You know that story? There are three main characters, not two. It's not just father and the youngest son, but there was a father and the youngest son and the older son. And older son lived like a slave. He's a son, but he lives like a slave. But the younger son repented, and he came as an attitude of a slave, but God treated him as a son. And my question to all of you is, which son are you? Which son are you? Do you feel like a slave? Or do you feel like a son? Do you feel like you know what God is doing in history, in pandemic? or you just do it. Right? A friend of Christ, excuse me, slave does not know master's business. You don't know. But I no longer call you a servant or slave, but you're my friend. Because everything that Father has told me, which is the big picture and the whole counsel of God, which is revealed in the scripture. You know, friends of God talk. Friends talk, right? God talks through the scripture. And do you listen to him? Do you enjoy listening to him? Do you desire to listen to him? Do you treasure the time of listening to him? That's what friendship is, isn't it? Right? The full and the counsel of God has been revealed to you. In other words, if you look at the scripture, you see the big picture. What is God doing right now during this pandemic? Is it about political polarity? Is it about economical collapse? Is it about, I don't know, what is God doing? You know what God is doing? He is carrying out his purpose to build this church, I believe. I really do, actually. Do you? Because that's what the scripture teaches. And it is the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, if you abide in him, will teach you all things. Okay? And will help you remember what Jesus said. And there's going to be an internal witnessing of the Spirit in your life. How many of you, after spending, you know, 5 weeks on the topic of Parakletos or Holy Spirit as Christians, how many of you desire and try to walk with the Holy Spirit? Can I ask you to say amen, amen to this question? How many of you desire to and try to walk with the Holy Spirit? Would you say amen? I praise God, because if you're not, can you imagine? You get married and you don't try to talk to her. You don't try to eat together, and you don't plan together, and you just exist together. That's pretty bad. Don't do that, right? Yeah. You gotta enjoy one another, love one another, trust one another, talk, and plan about the same path. And there's gonna be valleys. There's gonna be difficulties. But we're gonna go together. That's what true love is, isn't it? Yeah. So, third expression is to know the grand plan of God, and it is given to you through the scripture, people. Given to you. And one of the things that I'm noticing as we go through this attribute of God session every single week, whether we talk about sovereignty of God or the glory of God or the love of God, which is crazy, dealing with this big, big topics every single week. It's always a big picture. Studying Bible study is like zooming in kind of feeling, if I may express it that way. But studying the attribute of God is like zooming out to infinity. And I just pray that you will get to experience that. Fourth expression to live a Christian life as a friend of God is to bear fruit that lasts. Okay? And it's in verse 16. You did not choose me, and surely you didn't. Okay, you didn't. But I chose you. His choosing or election is his love and his grace. Okay, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruits. And that fruit should abide, which means should last. Which means eternal fruits. Let's go the other way around. What are the eternal fruit that lasts forever? Your degree? I don't think so. How about your achievement? I don't think so. I don't know how many people in the world will remember you because of your achievement. Do you think people will remember you because of your achievement? Your degree? How about your wealth? How about your experience visiting different places in the world? Wow, she really been to all over the world. We should remember her. Who's going to remember you like that? Nothing. Nothing will remember. Nothing will remain. But what will remain? Only the souls. Harvest. That's what Jesus is teaching. And I pray that you would have a desire to have fruits in your life. I pray that you would have that desire through your marriage. I pray that you would have desire to bear something last forever through your ministry. You know, that's what I'm thinking about these days. That's what I thought about during the pandemic. Like, who are the saints in this church? Who are the saints? Who are the true members of this church? I don't mean to like disrespect you. No, don't take it that way. But I really thought about that. Wow, who are the true saints in this church? What does it mean to have several hundred people in the congregation? What does that mean? It's like, and then everything is just gone. Little bit of hardship. So many people are shaken. What does that mean, right? I really thought about that. Is there any lasting fruits in my life? And the Bible says, if you live a Christian life as a friend of God, and I have chosen you so that you will go and bear fruits and fruit that will last in your life. You as a teacher, you as an engineer, you as a nurse, the vocation doesn't really matter. You do not have to go into seminary to do this. I really don't think so. It doesn't make sense at all. But you will have true fruits and fruits that will last in your life if you live as a Christian, as a friend of Jesus. Okay? Why did God choose you? And that's the question that I've been thinking about. What's the reason that God has chosen Israelites? What is the reason that God has chosen you? Because you warned his friends, you were enemies, and you were rebels. Why did he choose you? Okay, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 through 9. If you could just listen to this, you'll hear everything about friendship here. This is God, Moses speaking to Israelites about God's love, election love. You are a people holy to the Lord your God, which means you've been separated, you have been chosen. The Lord God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the people who are on the face of the earth. And now, why? And he gives the negative reason first. It's not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you or chosen you. It's not because of your greatness. It's not because of your loveliness. It's not because of anything to do with you. That's what he's saying. It's not because of you are more in number. In fact, you are fewest of all the people. In fact, if I were to consider you, you are the least qualified group of people. Okay? But he gives the real reason. But the reason that I have chosen you is because the Lord loves you. I don't know whether you're listening. Okay? He loves you. Not because of you, but because he loves you. Are you listening, people? Someone is saying, I love you, and you're totally ignoring it. That would be sad, right? Someone who's sincerely saying, I love you enough to give my life to you, and you're totally dissing him. That would be pretty disrespectful, pretty sad. But he's saying he has chosen you and made covenant with you, steadfast love upon you, because he loves you. Why? Because he loves you. Not because of you. Because if it was because of you, he could not have chosen you. Praise God that he has chosen you apart from you. He has chosen you because he has loved you. Okay? Lastly, the fifth expression as a friend of God, to live a Christian life, you talk to him. to ask, right there, okay, verse 16, is that you should go bear fruit, that you should bear, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Friends, talk. Can I ask you, do you talk to Jesus? Do you talk to God? Seriously, people, this is real. God is pouring his heart onto you. Talk to me. Don't be a religious first child. Talk to me. Let me talk to you. God speaks to you through the scripture, and you talk to him through asking and prayer. That's a living Christian life, isn't it? And both ways, Holy Spirit moves. When he speaks to you through the scripture, Holy Spirit speaks to you. And when you pray to God and ask in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit helps you, intercedes for you. That's a beautiful friendship. And my prayer is, you will live as a friend of God, not as a religious person. Like the first child. Remember first child? When his brother came back from, I don't know, how many years of, squandering his life. And your only brother came back and he was angry. Why would you get angry? He said, all these years I've worked for you, but you gave me nothing, to the father. Do you hear that anger? I deserve it, but you don't give me anything. That's religious living. I deserve it, Father, and you don't give me even a little lamb, little nothing, little goat. That's sad. That really is sad, people. I don't know whether you live as a friend of Christ or someone who do Christianity by the law. And I really urge you to listen to the heartbeat of God and experience his love. It says, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know how you're going to bear your fruits? How many of you, don't say amen, how many of you feel like there's a fruits in your life? How many of you feel like, I don't see any true evidence? You know, there's only one way we could bear fruits in our lives. That's when we abide in the tree. And that's by asking. But let me just tell you something. Over the years of serving ministry, the most difficult thing in ministry is mobilizing his people to pray. I wonder why. They talk. Fellowship, yes. Food, amen. Let's do some exercise. I'll be there. But prayer, not so much. I wonder why, right? Wonder why. I'm just pouring his heart onto you. Ask, be my friend, right? Be my friend. Okay? So we talked about five expressions of Christian living, and which I think it is beautiful, actually, to live as a friend of God, right? Last 2 weeks, we focused on the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, listen, and you are the branches, which means unless you are with me, there's nothing, no life in you. No fruits, of course, but there's no life in you. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And today, listen, I am the Lord, Jesus is saying. I am the Yahweh, and you are my friends. Okay? Friend is someone, there is a mutual love. Friend is someone who trusts, you believe. Friend is someone you talk and share, right? And you walk together. And friend is someone, hopefully, go through the valleys of life together, right? And walk that path together. for one cause together. And my prayer is, friends, may Jesus be your friend. Let's pray.